many of you don't even know how they're all related. So you're going to see that picture and go, wait a minute, because some of you don't know that they're all related. But I got a chance to look through them this week a little bit. I told them I wanted to look through them. And I almost, if you look at Deborah's book, there's short chapters you can kind of do as a devotional almost, even though it's 36 chapters, so it's more than a month, but it's like a devotional. And Ken's, one chapter hit me about operating from a place of the glory realm. Obviously, that's how I met them, through that term too. But it was just, there's some really good stuff in there. So if you encourage you, they're out in the foyer, you can talk to them afterwards. And if you're really lucky, they might sign you up a copy. So we're going to, he might sign it himself, the author himself. But hey, if there's any visitors here, we want to welcome you. I'm looking around. If you're here for the first time, thanks for coming out. We have a lot of announcements. I'm not going to do a long sermon because I already knew all these announcements and were going to take place. So, but I do not want to miss an opportunity that the word the Lord really put on my heart for a day. So give me about 15 minutes and we'll maybe go a little bit quicker if I can. But I wrote out a statement earlier in the week that I just feel like is imperative for us to hear. Freedom always costs something and always requires us to make a stand for it. We celebrated yesterday Independence Day, the 4th of July. As we celebrated that, we were told by a lot of laws in the land that we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this. And I also found out, which I'll get to in just a second too, that there was a law in the state of California that, or not a law, a decree, whatever you want to call it, by the governor, that you can have church, but you can't sing. Now, you laugh. I don't laugh. I mean, that's not true. I did laugh at first, too. And I laugh when I talked to somebody about it yesterday. If we really want to get serious now about this, freedom always costs something. In 1776, which we celebrated yesterday, they begin to write the Declaration of Independence. It says, as we proclaim ourselves independent from the tyranny of those who would hold sway over the minds, souls, and lives of Americans. The tyranny of those who would hold sway. It wasn't talking about just getting away from their control as a country. This is talking about somebody trying to control our minds and our souls as the way we live as Americans. This is what we were supposed to be set free from. And as a church, I'm not asking you to get militant. I'm not asking you to go and start a new protest. I'm asking you here in just a few minutes, are we willing to take that stand that is required of us in this day and this hour? Many, many, many lives have been sacrificed for the freedom of this country. And many, many lives have paid the ultimate sacrifice so we can celebrate right here at this church today in America. It goes on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. As Americans, we had the war for independence here. We had civil wars. We had world wars. We have had through centuries of time, we have seen wars fight to protect and to preserve the freedoms that were given to us. And that is something that every American and every person wants to come to this great nation for, is to be free from tyranny, free from a government, a tyrannical government, free from control, so we can worship freely, we can work, we can do things in freedom. And as Christians, we celebrate this because we have the ultimate one, Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm going to spend a few seconds here. So we have a history of our nation being laid out for us. Basically, I put this, other wars throughout our history, much bloodshed was there to protect and preserve our freedom. Jesus came to do the same thing. To our communion message this morning, his blood that was shed for us sealed the deal. John 8:36 says this, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to set us free. Interference anywhere? I might be talking about the wrong topic now. But he came to set us free, and it cost him everything. We talk about the ultimate sacrifices that I'm not going to change who I am. I like the blue line. I like the military. I like the fact that we have people who put their lives in the line every day, and even though they're unappreciated. Last night, all I could think about when I heard loud noises everywhere was, I hope we're praying for our fire department and our first responders. Because there are people who probably blow up their hands and everything else that we hear about every year. But last night, because there was a lot of things canceled around the state, there's going to be more personal opportunities for these things to happen. And I was literally saying, you know, imagine our first responders tonight. They are on edge waiting for the next call to put out a fire, to put out some type of catastrophe. And even though they're unappreciated all the time, we'll call them when we need them. So I honor the people who serve in those areas and in our country today. And you know what? The fact that we dishonor them so much makes me sick. Yes, there are a few bad police officers. I was talking to a state police officer. Yes, there are some bad. That doesn't make them all bad. I shared this just a couple weeks ago. It's because you have one bad plumber that, you know, when they leave, your pipes still leak. Doesn't make all plumbers bad. There's always going to be somebody not good at their job. But we have people who are sworn to protect and to serve our nation in all these areas of first responders, and yet we can treat them like garbage. It bothers me. It's not a freedom that our forefathers fought so we could go and disrespect. We're disrespecting our flag, disrespecting our belief systems. And I'm not saying that there's not racial inequality. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm saying we need to pray that instead of being more divisive, we become unifiers. We're unifying at the foot of the cross. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to pay the ultimate sacrifice so we can be reconciled with him and each other. As Christians, it is really time for us to take a stand. That Jesus Christ came to save us, to set us free, to deliver us, and to keep us in a place where we're no longer in bondage. And my heart this morning is, as we're celebrating independence, I want to celebrate independence in such a way that we not only celebrate the nation we live in, but the God that we serve. And we're unashamed to serve him no matter what the cost. So today there's a battle. If you open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1, I'd like to share a few things that's on my heart, and I'm excited to share it. Daniel chapter 1. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this so we can get through it a little bit quickly, because I am going to try to keep that time frame I told you. And I'm about halfway there, so we're good. Today, I believe Christianity is under attack. At first, when the pandemic hit, we understood that everybody was playing by the same rules. We were taking precautions that were needed, and I understand the uncertainty of what was going on around us. But now we're living in a day where I'm watching churches can't do this, but somebody else can do this. Just throwing it out there. I'm living in a day right now where I am being told by a governor in a state that they cannot sing a song in church, but we can go ahead and march and protest, and even according to the government guidelines, that's not going to cause disease, but church people will. If you don't see there's a problem here, there is. There's a problem in which we have to understand that at some point Christians have to start making a stand for what's right. And I'm not here to go I love our government. Again, here I'm honoring those in place. I love our governors and I want to pray for them. But at the same time, we are going to have to take a stand at some point and say enough is enough. We have been given to be living in the land of the free, home of the brave. And so as we're sitting here today, it's easy because we're having church like it. Nobody else. But there are churches today that can't gather still, that can't do what they're called to do because of some type of control that's over them, and it's fear-based. Is there a real disease? Yes. I'm not trying to please. Don't leave here going, oh, he's one of those hoaxers. I'm telling you, there's real people getting sick, but there's a God that's real too, that heals, delivers, and we have to start living our life in that freedom that he's given us. So I'm not here denying that stuff. I'm not here to get on a soapbox against the COVID-19. No, I'm here to tell you, we've seen this COVID-19 turn into something that now is starting to persecute some churches around our nation. We're in Indiana. We don't see a lot of it, but other states are. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I say, I believe that Christianity is under attack. I watch a show. It's not all, I'm sure it's all not clean and wholesome like every TV show has a little bit. But I like the show Last Man Standing. And so I've been binge watching that over the last couple months, the 8 seasons. And I'm telling you, I am shocked how many references on his little podcast, whatever they call, that he can make references to the Bible and Scripture. And remember, that show was the top 3 shows in all of TV and was canceled. Canceled because it had Christian and it had not, again, they have some humor in there that's not all Christian-based. I understand that. I don't know where the actors stand the Lord. I'm not saying. But they had a Christian-based theme and a conservative-based theme, and it was canceled. Canceled. Is that's alarming. So another network picks it up, and it's still one of the top shows in the country. I watch it because it makes me laugh, and of course, a lot of times I'm in full agreement with some of the things that are said too, and it's entertaining. But I realize if you don't think there's a problem when you can pull a TV show off the air, that it's this highly rated because it promotes conservative Christian values, tell you say something about the networks that have it. We have TV shows that promote anti-biblical things all throughout there, and the Christians that get portrayed are normally the ones that are mocked, hate mongers, and not line up with the God that we serve. Hollywood is maligning Christianity, and the media is not doing a very good job either, helping us out as far as Christianity. If you don't see this as some type of an assault on our rights, I hope today you will not get on a conspiracy theory website and say, man, he's lost his mind. Instead, realize there are days coming ahead. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll hate this. They'll turn away and they'll make the truth of God a lie. If you don't see that beginning right now, I hope you'll open up your eyes and see that we are starting to say the Bible doesn't really say that this is sin. It actually means something different. And we begin to take the word which is clearly written. For centuries, we've understood what this Bible means. And yet now, we've been able to twist it a little bit and say, like the Garden of Eden, God, what did the serpent say to Eve? God surely did mean that. We're seeing the same thing happen from our eyes now. God surely didn't mean that there's a hell. God surely wouldn't send people there. He's a loving God. He's not sending them there, by the way. That's their choices. He has given a way of hope and freedom and life and love to these people. And that's what our message ought to be carried out of these doors, to carry the message of love. And the other thing I'll share is this. This is the other area we're being under attack. Then I'll get to Scripture and then I better hurry because I didn't mean to take that long there. God, I did get a little soapbox on that one. The false gospel that we're hearing out there being promoted should also alarm us. Salvation without the blood. Salvation without repentance. There's other ways to get to the Father. All religions, this one, and by the way, there are prominent Christian leaders around the world coming together and with Muslims and Catholics and coming together and saying, you know, maybe there are more different ways that we can show love and universalism so we don't have such division. It's a false gospel. It doesn't go through Jesus. I am. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. No man goes to the Father except through Jesus. And when that message isn't preached, Paul says in Galatians 1, we're preaching another gospel. It's not grace-driven, but it's works-driven. That if you do good things, you can go to a good place. It's not if you know the right person who died for you and became a substitutionary sacrifice for your sins, then you can go to the right place called heaven. That's the gospel. And we're not preaching it. So we're seeing a compromised gospel being promoted, and that is an assault on true Christianity, and it's even done by some so-called Christians. We are living in a time where we are celebrating our freedom and we're celebrating what God's done, but we are living in a time in Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 8, I'm going to just jump ahead. I was going to read it all, but we're not. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God brought Daniel into favor of the tender love of the prince of eunuchs. Here's what happens. Jump ahead. Story. The eunuch said, fine, you guys eat your way, we're going to eat our way, and we're going to see how it will last. Jump down to verse 17. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of these days that the king had said he should bring forth in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are the three Hebrew children, by the way, that get renamed in a minute. None were like them. Therefore, they stood before the king. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, and the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued, even the first king of Cyrus. This is one of my favorite verses. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the world system. We as Christians, step one in taking a stand for righteousness and taking a stand this hour of freedom is we have to purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves by living like the world, living in the world system, but living like the world. We have to learn that what they eat, what they drink, what they watch, what they do, these things right here can't be a part of our life. There's nothing wrong with going and having fun and watching movies, but what are you defiling? If they're defiling yourself, you are robbing yourself of the blessing of being in communion with God. They found a way that when they tapped into the way God wanted them to do it, they were 10 times greater than all the others. Wouldn't it be great if the church got that reputation? They work 10 times harder. They're 10 times smarter. They're 10 times wiser. They're 10 times more integrity on the job. Wouldn't it be great if the church got labeled this way instead? Jump to chapter 3. You all know the story very well, and we're not going to go through the whole thing otherwise. But remember the fiery furnace? They built a big old statue. And every time they played this song, everyone had to bow. Remember, they bow. If you don't bow, you're going to be cast in this fiery furnace. So, verse 16 of chapter 3. Now they've been renamed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Another sermon, another time. But whenever you get renamed, it does change your identity. And, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're going to be very cautious. We have thought this through. We've chosen not to bow, and it's intentional. We've not just one day said, this is the problem of Christianity, right? One day, I better get up and make the right decision. No, they purposed in their heart in chapter 1. They purposed, and they kept living a life of separation so they could honor the Lord in that way. So they were ready when this came. And says, we have not taken this lightly, King. We've made this decision intentionally because we cannot. Oh, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he would deliver us out of thy hand, O King. That would just be a little insulting if you stood before somebody and goes, hey, by the way, my God's greater and he can deliver us from you. Whoa, that's not arrogance. That's confidence in the God they know. They spent time with him. They know their God so well that he was able to say, and he will even deliver us from you, King. We're not fearful of you. Verse 18, but if not, if he doesn't deliver us from the king, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve your God nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, which in the form of a vision was changed. He charged them. So then here's it. Let's just jump ahead because we really want to get through time. Because I've already lost my 15 minutes. So, too bad. So, these three Hebrew children gets the Nebuchadnezzar fiery mad. So, he flames up the furnace 7 times hotter. They chain them, they rope them up in there, and the guy throwing them in the furnace died because of the heat. So, you understand, this wasn't just a metaphor. This wasn't just a picture. This is a real story with real people willing to take the ultimate price knowing who their God was. If we as Christians want to live in the freedom that God's given us, we have to learn no matter what the cost, we will take a stand and know who our God is no matter what. And then let's jump down. It's so great. Oh, boy. Verse 24. Yes. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. I love that. And rose up in haste and spoke and said to the counselors, excuse me, did we not cast 3 men in there bound in the fire? They answered, yep, we threw three. Verse 25, and he answered and said, yo, hey, why do I see, I'm paraphrasing this for you, why is there 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire? They have no hurt, and in the form is in the fourth, is in the image of the Son of God. How did he know that? Because he knew that the God they served would show up in the middle of it. When we are willing to take a stand for freedom and take a stand for righteousness, even when persecution and hardships come, we know that we have a promise right here that our God will always meet us in the middle of it. He's not waiting until you get through it. He's going to meet you right there. As we were singing this song earlier, it may seem like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by God. As they were in prayer this morning, I literally saw a scene of the Lion King come at me. I was going to share this earlier, but oh well. And where they get to the hyenas, and little Simba's there, and there's hyenas everywhere, and that's all they can see, and there's fear, and they're, ah, we're in the wrong, with the valley of the desert, the bone with their, and all of a sudden, out of the midst of there, Mufasa comes and delivers little Simba from there. And I just saw this picture. I was singing that this morning. It may look like the hyena land that you're in is destructive, but we have a God that's greater than Mufasa, by the way. And he will come down and swipe our enemies right in the midst of the fire and right in the midst of those little cubs going to be tormented. God will always show up for his kids. And I believe this is what freedom's about, is being able to stand in the midst of it. Even when we make bad decisions, in this case, Simba was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Told him, don't go there, but of course, Uncle Scar told him it'd be a good place to go, right? Okay, movie spoiler, by the way. And so, if you haven't seen it, it's been a while. But anyways, so we have a God that's greater than any trial and anything that comes our way, and he will deliver us from the hand of the enemy, even when we walk there ourselves. Because God is faithful and his mercy is real and he loves us that much. We have to learn to take a stand. As you guys know the rest of the story, it's so awesome. They got out and it says, oh, well, let's just read it. I know, I'm sorry. Kenny just said to me, you know, it's our first full week back. Don't go too late. I'm trying. Sorry, Pastor Kenny. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Oh, man. Nor was a hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats change, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him and had changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill. That's pretty huge. Because there is no other God that can deliver them after this sword. The king promoted them. Now here's the deal. We have to get to a point where our ability to trust our God is so great that the world begins to see the marked difference that we have in our lives. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom which Christ sets you free, and do not be entangled again to a yoke of bondage. We have to guard ourselves in the days that we're living in. Perilous times are coming. We live in a world where the church is under attack. The message is being under attack. We are being mocked and ridiculed. If we choose to be like those three Hebrew children, and we will stand in the face of darkness and stand in the face of our adversary and continue to proclaim the freedom which we have, do not let yourself be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Worship team, you can come on up. Remember this as I conclude today. The rest I'm just reading, so we don't know. This is what we did communion earlier. And Tim, thank you for the preparation you had for that this week and giving us a message on God's longing for us to have fellowship and intimacy with him returned and restored through the act of the cross and reminding us that covenant is an awesome, awesome repair to our relationship with God and causes us to be intimate. But I want you to remember this. We have been given freedom and the ultimate cost was paid by Jesus, but now are we willing to pay the same cost? Are we willing to stand for truth even in the midst of persecution, mockery, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of strongholds? Are we willing to take a stand and become the righteousness of God no matter what the cost is? My heart this morning isn't one angry at governors and angry at our government. I'm not angry. But I'm just going to be a forewarning of what I see. And as a pastor, I know this is a dangerous message in some areas because people are so afraid. I'm not speaking out against our government. I am speaking up for us to rise up instead. I'm not here to cause a decoration of any type of separation from our government. I'm here this. If the government contradicts the word of God, who will you stand with? If Hollywood or any other thing around you contradicts and makes us not stand up for what's right in his word, we are going to be caused very shortly, I believe, we're going to make some decisions. And today, my heart is this, not that you make the decision today, but will you be like in Daniel 1:8? Will you purpose in your heart today? Purpose in your heart today that you're willing to start making that stand in what you read, what you watch, what you listen to, who you follow, what you're doing with your time. I'm going to choose right now to purpose in my heart that I'm ready. And Lord, whatever the consequences might be, I know that my God will meet me in the middle of the fire. So if you take a stand with me today, if you stand your feet, literally and spiritually, I would like to encourage you. We are celebrating independence. We are a free nation right now in writing. And I think for the most part, we are free. But I see that freedom being infringed upon. I see things that are being said and even ideas being promoted that could jeopardize our freedom. And I'm not willing to yield and to bow down to any other idol but our God. And if we can make that decision today, well, it's easy because we're not being persecuted that bad right here. But if we make the decision now, we'll be ready when it does come. I'm not putting a message of fear, but of power and hope. We're empowering the church to make a stand. And it might not be that bad in Indiana, but we do live in Indiana. But are we willing to fight for our brothers and sisters around the nation who are being persecuted? So this morning, I'm just asking you to take a stand with me. I'm going to pray a blessing over all of you. And the altars are going to be open if you'd like to just come in and say, listen, Lord, I want to put myself before you today and say, I want to sanctify my heart, my mind, my soul. I just want to set myself away that I'm preparing myself to be right before you and take a stand for truth. And I don't want to be enslaved again to bondage. I want to live in freedom in every aspect of my life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Let's live in freedom. Father, I pray over your church this morning that we celebrate and are so thankful and grateful for the men and women who made it possible for us to have this meeting right now. I truly believe that our First Amendment right to be free to gather here is a blessing that was purchased by these great men and women in our nation. And I'm so thankful that the freedom you purchased for us, Jesus, set me free, delivered me from the consequences of my sin. And I am now free in Jesus. But I'm asking now this church today, I speak a blessing over all the people standing here that we want to be a church that makes a stand. We want to declare that we will stand in the midst of any persecution, any tyranny. Even when we're going to take a stand against our own struggles that we're having in ourselves, whether it's lust or whether it's pride, whether it's anger, whatever it might be, we want to lay all this down today and ask Jesus to come and be the Lord of these situations. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to make a stand in the freedom in which we were given. So I ask your blessing to be upon the people of God right now, in Jesus' name.